This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, part two of our series on obesity takes a look at the politics of food. What can and should government do in the fight against fat? While there's an abundance of third graders in Florida, as we mentioned in our previous segment, there's a severe shortage of men in the classroom across the country. According to a new study by the National Education Association, men make up only 26% of the teaching workforce. Male teachers are particularly scarce in elementary school. These new numbers represent the lowest levels of male teachers working in America in over 40 years. In response to this, the NEA has improved a measure to, quote, identify, recognize, recruit, and retain more men, hoping to attract both elementary and minority teachers. Are you a male teacher? Why did you go into the profession? Are you a man who's considered teaching but decided against it? Call and tell us why. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now is the gentleman who brought forward the referendum to cultivate more male teachers, John Hutchison. Mr. Hutchison is a special education teacher at Carter Elementary School in Knox County, Kentucky. He joins us by phone from his classroom there, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Ooh, we can barely hear you. Are you there teaching on Labor Day?
No. I just decided to join here because it was probably quieter at school than my home.
Well, why do you think fewer and fewer men are going into teaching?
Well, I'd say probably predominantly because of the pay. Most of the kids coming out now want they're part of the American dream, and they want it a little quicker than what they could get it if they go into the teaching field. The lack of a livable salary is probably predominantly the aspect that hurts our profession most. In fact, if there was one priority as far as not just male teachers but teachers in general, because there's a shortage overall, is that livable salary that's going to have to be paid before we can entice other folks into the field.
Yet
historically, though, men really it's. A misnomer that men consider teaching as women's work, more or less. And then you take the negative side of that too, with the aspect that you have these guys out here that are preying on children, and the majority of those folks are men, and men, you know, they look at you kind of funny when you think about, you know, going into the elementary portion of the field, because they're thinking, well, you must have something in your background that. You want to be around young kids.
Well, it's particularly, you know, the difference, the sexual differences in teachers are particularly dramatic in elementary school. There's also a widespread profession. You mentioned the idea that, you know, a lot of people consider teaching somehow to be women's work, but there's also a prevailing thought that men teach to subjects, they go in to teach math or history or English or whatever it is, while women are more generally interested in helping kids, which is why you have more women ending up in elementary school and a greater proportion of men, though still not enough, in secondary school.
Yes, that's true, and unfortunately it's true, but there are folks out there that enjoy children to the point that it doesn't make any difference what grade you're teaching or what subject you're teaching. The art of teaching is the thing, and those are the folks that we're trying to entice into the field.
Why is it important to have men in the classroom?
Well, more than anything else, it's with the advent of our society at this point in time, with the growth of single parent families. Often it's the classroom and where the kids come into a positive role model with a male, and it's that thing that in some areas that really cries out the most need for those teachers to be there.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255. The email address is totn@npr.org. And let's go to Steve, who joins us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hello.
Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I've been in this profession for 30 years, and I don't regret a day of it.
I assume you're a teacher.
I am a school principal now. Actually, I work today on Labor Day, but I taught for 15 or so years before becoming a principal, and the only reason I became a principal was monetary.
And why did you get into the profession in the first place?
I like working with kids, and I really believe that we are the one profession that makes all other professions possible.
You know what entry teachers make, you know, first-year teachers. If you had it to do over again, if you were back in college, would you still go into teaching?
Knowing what I know now, I would, yes, because the benefits are immense, not financially, but they're immense for what we're able to do for and with children.
John Hutchison, again, there seems to be a discrepancy between those who, as you say, certainly some men get into the profession and want to make a living and raise a family and do all of that, and there are perhaps other more attractive options out there, but there is a mission that a lot of people feel.
Yes, there is, and the teaching end of it is the most rewarding end of the thing. You know, when you've tried and tried and tried to get the point across, and all of a sudden you see the little child's face light up, and that you can actually watch the light bulb going on. That's the teachable moment, and that's the moment that all teachers hope to experience with every one of their students at some point during the school year, and that makes everything worthwhile. I mean, it's not the pay, it's not the benefits we get, because Lord knows we don't have that many benefits. I suspect another thing right now that makes it more difficult to entice folks into the field is the lack of hospitalization and insurance for benefits for families. A lot of states don't even provide but single coverage for those folks, and that's a consideration when you're thinking about having a family and raising a family and having to go into a career that which you need to take care of them with.
Steve, you're now a principal, but it sounds from what you said earlier that if the money were there, you'd rather be teaching.
Absolutely. I think you'd ask a majority of principals why they went into it in the first place to be principals. I mean, administration. They would say it was for the financial gains. I think that they would rather be in the classroom teaching.
Well, thanks very much for the call, and good luck to you this school year.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we get another caller in, and Angela joins us on the line from Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My comment is I have a school-age son, and I would very much like him to have some male teachers down the road. I believe that part of the problem is that, at least where we live, there are a very large number of would-be teachers and very few jobs, and I think that men are less likely to want to pay the dues of, say, substitute teaching for a number of years to get into these districts. They're less likely maybe than women would be.
Is that the case where you live now in Royal Oak, Michigan?
Yes. In the county, actually, where I live, there are many, many people who are trying to get jobs in the school districts, and there are very few jobs to be had.
Well, John Hutchison, that's not the case in a lot of other places.
No, really it isn't in a lot of places. In a lot of places, the exact opposite is true. They have a plethora of jobs and very few applicants to take those jobs.
But what about Angela's other point that men aren't sometimes willing to pay the dues that women sometimes apparently are?
Well, I'm not so sure of that. I've been in the field for 21 years, and it's been an enjoyable profession. Historically, men have gravitated toward positions of administration and in positions of coaching because those were often as not they paid more than they were able to obtain that salary at those times to help defray the cost of raising their families and so forth. Often as not in the case of female teachers is that a lot of them are married and this becomes a second income. Sometimes that second income isn't necessarily all that needed, you understand. And what happens is that, they enjoy the teaching end of it, and this gives them, sometimes it becomes almost a hobby. and I don't mean to be sounding sexist or anything like that, but a lot of men are forced to, who are now in single parent, are going into the field of teaching also, because, they see that there's something valuable there as far as raising kids. We're becoming a nation of nurturers now. The tide is kind of shifting, and I think making the field more attractive would also entice those nurturing male entities into the field as well.
Angela, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're speaking with John Hutchison of Carter Elementary School, and he brought forward a proposal to the NEA, which is asking them to put forward a special effort to recruit especially men and minority men in particular for teaching positions around the country. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And another caller now, John in Scottsdale. Excuse me, I assume your name is not John Scottsdale.
Right. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a minority male, and I retired, and one of the reasons I would not return or advise other minority males to return or to go into teaching has to do with 2 points. The etiquette, especially in the lower grades, tends to be female normed. The tradition of the lower grades is female normed. And there's an emphasis on emotional content, which as a minority male, say in a majority school, you tend to get involved in issues that interfere with the actual delivery of the subject. And the second huge problem...
Wait a minute. Before we go on, such as?
The emotional content would be preparing food for children, taking children out on picnics, the types of maternal activities as opposed to, say, a science project. For example, we did a computer project for the school, and it was just a beautiful project. And the assistant principal would turn the computer off because she couldn't relate to the designs and the various things that the kids did to demonstrate the computer.
Okay.
Okay. And the second deal is that there's a reluctance. There's an enforcement of policy, and it's becoming greater. Your last discussion about testing. Well, the fact is, whether we recognize it or not, children develop at different rates. Some kids at third grade operate at a fifth grade level, some operate at a second grade level. And with this uniform policy that's being increasingly imposed, as a teacher, this has nothing to do with the minority aspect, but a lot with me personally, it's very difficult to put everyone in every peg in the same hole. Learning is an individual response, and it's something that individuals do, and you have to teach to the individual. But with this increased testing and all of the rules and the pressure from the outside, it just becomes very frustrating. You're teaching to a test, and I want to teach people. I don't want to teach to a test.
I understand that, but given all of the importance that everybody in society seems to put on the idea of role models, would you really discourage other minority males from teaching?
Well, in a minority school, yes, I think fine, because there's a kind of sort of an environment accepting. But for male minorities to go into majority school, it can be, not necessarily must be, but it can be one of the most trying experiences of your life. And this is not only me, but this is several minority males that I would get together with on a Saturday night and chew the fat with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say that.
I'm sorry to hear it, but thank you very much for telling us. We need to hear those sorts of things.
Right.
Appreciate the phone call, John.
John
Hutchison?
Yes.
I wonder if you get a response to that?
Well, I understood where he was coming from, and I really would understand his takeoff on the testing issue. It does almost seem like they're forcing us to make everybody in the same class get there at the same time. It doesn't allow for individual differences at times.
One last call, if we can squeeze it in. We just have a few seconds left. Sharon, I apologize, but she's with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, thank you. I just had a quick comment. My son just recently graduated after 12 years of a great deal of difficulty trying to get him through, and his only pleasant year in elementary school was the year he had a male teacher. And I was a teacher in the system at the time. I know his other teachers were absolutely wonderful, but they couldn't relate to him like a male teacher could, who would joke about roadkill and things that would appeal to a male child that that wouldn't necessarily the female students. And so I see, both as a parent and as an educator, we have a desperate need for more male teachers in the classroom.
And John Hutchison, that's exactly why you made this proposal, right?
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Well, Sharon, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Thanks.
John Hutchison, thank you very much for going into class today to speak with us from your classroom.
You're very much welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
And good luck with your class this year.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
John Hutchison is special education teacher at Carter Elementary School in Knox County, Kentucky. We reached him in his classroom there. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.